Parshas Toldos. We left off at the very end of yesterday speaking about a passage in the Sforno that I want to come back to today and talk about a little bit more at length. So this is a Sforno, the beginning of Perek Chavav. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yitzchak, despite the fact that there is a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and Yitzchak's natural inclination would be to follow what his father did, to go down to Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Al teired Mitzrayima shechon ba'aretz asher amar eilecha. Stay in this land. Gur ba'aretz hazos. Dwell in this land. Stay in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'eyei mechava v'arecheka. And I will be with you and I'll bless you. Ki l'chol l'zarecha etenes kol ho'aretzo so'el v'akimosias ha'shvua shenishbati le'avram avicha. I'm going to give this land, all of these lands, to you, to your children, and I will fulfill the promise, the oath, which I swore to your father Avraham. Why is it so imperative that Yitzchak Avinu stay in Eretz Yisrael? So we quoted yesterday, Rashi quoting the Tanchuma, Yitzchak is an Ola Tzmima, he's a sacrifice, as it were, he came that close to being sacrificed at Har Moriah, even though ultimately the ram was sacrificed in his stead, in a certain sense, in a conceptual sense, Yitzchak was the Karban. So if you're a Karban, you know, you're not supposed to go out of the holy place. A Karban is not supposed to be taken out of Yerushalayim. It's not supposed to be taken out of the Beis HaMikdosh, out of Yerushalayim, depending on what kind of Karban it is. So, you know, the human Karban, which is Yitzchak Avinu, is not supposed to be taken out of the holy place, the Makom Kadosh, which is Eretz Yisrael. So says Rashi. The Sforno seems to have a different approach. The Sforno says that Yitzchak's remaining in Eretz Yisrael was incredibly important in order to establish the chazaka, the claim that Klal Yisrael would have to Eretz Yisrael. He writes as follows, Perek Chavav Pasuk Gimel, Kvar nishbati l'Avram loseis lo l'zaros ha'aretz hazos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've sworn to Avram to give him and to his children this land. And therefore, when you live in this land, you will become a prince of God in the midst of the people who live here. And through that, you will acquire a chazaka, a claim, in order to pass it down to your children. So what exactly is the Sforno getting at over here? So Rabbi Cooperman suggests that there are actually two points which the Sforno is bringing out over here somewhat laconically. I think one can make the argument that in point of fact there's only really one point which the Sforno is making. Let's first present that and let's then analyze that a little bit and we'll see what Rabbi Cooperman has to say. We'll try to understand, to unpack, you know, what the Sforno is saying over here. Again, somehow, the basic point the Sforno is making is that somehow Yitzchak's staying in Eretz Yisrael is crucial in order to establish the claim that Klal Yisrael have in Eretz Yisrael. One thing the Sforno clearly says is that if Yitzchak sticks around in Eretz Yisrael, he'll be recognized as a Nasi Elokim. He'll be recognized as a Prince of God. Now that term, Nasi Elokim, we saw in last week's Parsha with reference to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu wants to buy a burial place for Sarah. So the Bnei Ches say to him, Nasi Elokim ato b'socheinu. Since you're a prince of God among us, so we're going to give you this place where you can bury Sarah Imenu. So as we see over there, that being a Nasi Elokim has something to do with having a claim on the land. Right? So what's the concept behind that? Presumably the concept is something like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, but you know, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Klal Yisrael, still the nations around have to recognize, they have to sign off on some level on the fact that Klal Yisrael deserved to have Eretz Yisrael. The nations of the world are more likely to do so if they see the Jews residing in Eretz Yisrael as prominent people. Again, not to interject politics into a discussion over here. The last thing we want to do is bring in the politics. But many have made the following point, in the context of contemporary Israeli politics. When the Jews who inhabit Eretz Yisrael act like schleppers, it's harder for them to make peace with the Arabs. When the Jews in Eretz Yisrael act with pride, so then it's easier for them to make peace with the Arabs. There's a greater degree of respect which the surrounding nations have when the Jews put forward this image of pride and strength. When they put forward an image of, you know, being a Nebuchadnezzar, being somebody who can easily be trod upon, be stepped upon, so nobody respects such a person. So why should we give you a claim in Eretz Yisrael if you're a Nebuchadnezzar? That seems to be something along the lines of what the Sforno is saying over here. For the Avos to really establish their claim to Eretz Yisrael, they have to be seen as people who are great people, who contribute to being in Eretz Yisrael and make Eretz Yisrael a great place. So Avraham Avinu had already done that. Avraham Avinu was recognized by the people around him as Nasi Elokim Ato B'Sochenu. You're a prince of God. You're besides all the religious attributes that you have, you're a mighty guy, you know. In other words, there's a war between four kings, five kings. You're jumping in there. You're not standing on the sidelines. You're getting involved. You're doing all these kinds of things. You're an activist. Yitzchak Avinu, up until this point in time, doesn't really seem to be so active. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, look, stick around Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to give you a bracha. What's the bracha? The bracha I'm going to give you is that you're going to plant in this barren land, and you're going to produce an incredible crop. Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses him with a crop that's 100 times what the normal crop would be. And the people respect him as a result of that. So in other words, by you sticking around Eretz Yisrael, you will become this Nasi Elokim. You'll become this Prince of God, this person who's respected and a source of pride for the populace. And that will further your connection to Eretz Yisrael. It could be understood that that's the only point that the Sforno is making over here. When you live in this land, you will become a prince of God. If you don't run away during the years of famine, but you stick around and you stick it out and you show how Eretz Yisrael can be cultivated. So, you know, people will think that you're a somebody, you're a Nasi Elokim. And through becoming an Asi Elokim, by being recognized by the nations around, that will establish your claim to pass down Eretz Yisrael to the next generation. Rabbi Kuperman, however, suggests that there's another idea, which is here in the Sforno, that one idea is that the Sforno is saying that Yitzchak will become an Asi Elokim, a prince of God. But there's a second additional way in which Yitzchak's sticking around in Eretz Yisrael creates a chazakah, creates a claim, which will firm up the claim of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael going forward. That point, says Rabbi Kuperman, is that at least one of the avos has to never leave Eretz Yisrael in order to cement the claim that Klal Yisrael have to Eretz Yisrael. One of the avos has to stick around and physically be there. Possession, as they say, is 9/10 of the law. One of the avos, at least one of the avos, has to stick around all the time in Eretz Yisrael to cement the claim. Now, that's not going to be Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu came on the scene a little bit late. He was only 75 when he came to Eretz Yisrael. He's already had a lot of decades behind him. And there was already a nevuah that Yaakov Avinu was going to spend a lot of time away from Eretz Yisrael, in the house of Lavan. So that leaves Yitzchak. Yitzchak's not leaving Eretz Yisrael, according to this interpretation, is not really a function of the fact that he's an Ola Tmima. It's not a function of the fact that he was a quasi-sacrifice at the Akedah, but rather one of the Avos has to stick around in order to cement the claim of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And in this regard, Rabbi Kuperman suggests the following. I don't know that this really has any basis in the Sforno's words, but it's an interesting idea. Rabbi Kuperman quotes the concept of Chezkas Karka, of creating a claim on land. If you don't have a deed that shows that you're the owner of a piece of land, how can you claim, you know, what mechanism do you have to be able to claim that you're the owner? So third parak of Bava Basra discusses this idea that a person can claim that he's the owner of the land if he's been there for 3 years and nobody has challenged his claim. To some extent, it's kind of like, I guess, squatter's rights we talk about. In other words, if you're here and nobody's challenging you, so I guess you're the rightful owner. So the Gemara there talks about the idea of being in the land for 3 years. And the Gemara makes the following point. It's not even really necessary that you're in the land for a full 3 years. You can be in the land for part of the first year, part of the last year, but the middle year, you have to be there in its entirety. So says Rabbi Cooperman in his notes, isn't this interesting, right? Again, it's not an exact parallel, but 3 years, three avos. And Avraham Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael part of the time. Yaakov Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael part of the time. But the middle link, Yitzchak Avinu, has to be in the land the entire time in order to really cement that claim. That's why Yitzchak is different in that regard than Avraham and Yaakov. He's the middle of. So whoever is the middle of the basis for the claim has to be the strongest link. The strongest link, whether it's in years or in avos, has to be in the middle, because that's really the link which is holding the whole chain together. So again, it may be a lot to read back into the words of the Sfarno, but it's a very interesting analogy that Rabbi Cooperman suggests in his words. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues speaking to Yitzchak. He tells him, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. It's very important for you to stick around. And he makes the following statement. Hashem says, Pasuk Dalet, V'nosati l'zarach v'hirbesi azarach l'kichokhei ha-shamayim. I'm going to make your children as numerous as the stars. V'nosati l'zarach ha-iskol ho-aratzo so'el. I'm going to give all of these lands to your children. V'sbaruch hu v'zarach ha-kol goyei ha-aretz. And through your children, all of the nations of the land will be blessed. Why? Akev, on account of Asher Shoma Avram Bekoli. Because Avram listened in my voice. Vayishmar Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai Visorosai. And he guarded my ordinances, my mitzvos, my chukim, and my toros. In other words, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yitzchak Avinu, I'm going to give you brachos. Why? Because of your father. What about say, you know, it's sort of a pat on the back, but it's a backhanded pat on the back. Why don't you give me brachos because of me? What am I, chopped liver? Yitzchak Avinu says to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Eikav Asher Shoma Avram Bekoli, because Avram listened to, okay, very, very, very nice. I'm nothing. I'm mamish nothing. So the Sfarno picks up on this, and he writes in Pasuk Hey, right now, the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to Yitzchak that I'm going to bless you, not because of you, because of your father. And that continues later on in the Parsha. Right? Yitzchak sticks around in the land of the Plishtim. He digs wells. There's a lot of fighting over the wells. So later on in the Perek, in Pasuk Chav Dalet, it says, Vayero Eilav Hashem Balayla, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yitzchak, Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avram Avicha, he says to him, I'm the God of your father Avram, Al Tira Ki Itcha Anochi, don't be afraid because I'm with you, Uverachticha, I'll bless you, V'irbesi Ezaracha, and I'm going to increase your children, Bavur Avraham Avdi, for the sake of my servant Avram. And again, the Sfarno was pointing out, it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, the merit that you have to receive the bracha is because of your father. In both cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not really about you. It's because of your father that I'm going to bless you in such a fashion. And again, you know, the question is, Yitzchak Avinu never would have asked this question to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, Azah Onav, you know, he's such a humble, self-effacing person, but we can ask the question. Really? You know, what about Yitzchak himself? Why are we focusing? Why is the Pasuk focusing on Yitzchak getting the brachas because of Avram? What's more, V'lo kein omar li'Yaakov. If you want to say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to fill up the head of the younger generation, and he just wants to talk about, you know, the old generation Avraham Avinu, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing Yaakov Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never says, I'm blessing you in the merit of Yitzchak. Right? He does not, there's no parallel pasuk of Bavur Yitzchak or Bavur Avraham. Yaakov is blessed on his own merits, it would seem. So what's unique about Yitzchak? So writes the Sfarno the following. Zeho Yakodem Shehis Orer Yitzchak Likro B'Shem Hashem. There's a term which is used with Avraham Avinu, which up until later on in this parak we don't find with reference to Yitzchak. When it says when Avraham Avinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, he called out in the name of Hashem. We don't find such a language with regard to Yitzchak, except a little bit later in the parak. Right? So, again, going back to later in the parak, Yitzchak is fighting with the Plishtim, all of the wells. You know, the Plishtim aren't allowing him to really keep the wells. Up until that point, what we just mentioned, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yitzchak and he says, don't worry, I'm blessing you in the schus of Avraham Avinu. It says, Vayiven Shom Izbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Right? This is Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chavhei. Yitzchak builds a Mizbeach and he calls out in the name of Hashem. Now, how do you translate he called out in the name of Hashem? I think if he were to ask us offhand, we would say he davened. Right? I mean, he built a Mizbeach. And he opened up the Siddur. He called out in the name of Hashem. The Sfarno has a different way of translating this phrase. He says, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem means that Yitzchak went around teaching people about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go back a little bit earlier in Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey had described how Avraham Avinu vayishmor mishmarti, that Avraham Avinu guarded my mishmeres, he guarded my ordinance. What does that mean? So the Sfarno writes as follows: Asa tamid hamishmeres hamyuchedes li. Avraham Avinu always kept that thing which is very precious to me, to Hashem, shehi ligmol chesed. That's to do acts of chesed, of loving kindness. Ka'amra, as the Pasuk says in Tilim Parachov Hay, Kol Archos Hashem Chesed Ve'emes, the ways of Hashem are Chesed and truth. So that's one thing that Avraham Avinu did. He was a Baal Chesed. A second thing that Avraham Avinu did was Lahoros Chatoim Baderech, to teach sinners how to repent. He tried to teach people the right way to act. Vizeh Asa Kasher Kara B'Shem Hashem. And that's what it means when Avraham Avinu called out the name of Hashem. It doesn't mean that he davened. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem by the Avos means that they went out teaching people how to act. They went teaching people how to do the right thing. So comes the Sfarno and he says as follows. Avraham Avinu had, from the very beginning, distinguished himself as a teacher, as someone who was teaching people the right way to act. And that was an incredible source of schus, of merit for Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu, up until this point in his life, had done many, many incredible things. He was a tremendous tzaddik, goes without saying. But he wasn't teaching people how to act. He had not yet been korei b'shem Hashem. He had not yet called the name of Hashem, meaning he had not tried to reach the masses and impress upon them what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, but why? Because of the promise I made to Avraham Avinu. As of now, you have not yet done anything that would merit Eretz Yisrael for yourself. You have to go out there and teach people about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to merit receiving Eretz Yisrael on your own merits. Right now, you can only rely on the merits of Avraham Avinu. But now, later in the parasha, so for Yitzchak, for the first time, builds a Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, and he calls out in the name of Hashem. He goes out and becomes the Rebbe. He goes out and he starts teaching people about the right way to act. Oh, so now, says the Sfarno, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless Yitzchak in his own merit, not simply in the merit of Avraham Avinu. And says the Svarno, and we find something amazing at this point. So Yitzchak, for the first time, is Korei B'Shem Hashem. He goes out and he starts teaching people about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden, all of the fighting that he had had with the Plishtim comes to an end. Right? He goes out, he builds. Vayichru Shom Avde Yitzchak Be'er. The servants of Yitzchak go and they dig a well in this place. And the Plishtim come to him and they say, Tehina Ola Beino Seinu. Let's make a peace treaty. We want to make a covenant with you. You were fighting with, Yitzchak says, you were fighting with me the whole time. What, all of a sudden you're making a peace treaty? Because something changed. When Yitzchak takes upon himself to spread the word of Hashem, that gives him a claim to Eretz Yisrael. And the claim to Eretz Yisrael that's in his own merit causes the Plishtim to stop fighting against him. And we find the pasuk, we referenced this last night, Avimelech says to Yitzchak, Ato Beruch Hashem. You now are the one who is blessed by Hashem. What does that mean? Ato Beruch Hashem. Right? So explains the Svarno, because up until now, you didn't really have that schus. You didn't really have that merit. You had to rely on the merit of Avraham Avinu. When you were Korei B'Shem Hashem, when you went out there and you started teaching people about the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now we can see the difference. You now became a Baruch Hashem. You now became someone who's blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we're not going to fight with you anymore. We're going to make up with you. We're going to make peace with you. We're going to give you this claim to Eretz Yisrael. Everything changes once Yitzchak Avinu takes upon himself to spread the word of Hashem the way that Avraham Avinu did. So that's that whole construction is a fascinating presentation in its own right by the Svarno. But then the Svarno takes it one step further. So we spoke about how Avraham Avinu from the very beginning has tremendous chusim because he's calling in the name of Hashem, meaning he's teaching the ways of Hashem from the beginning. For Yitzchak Avinu coming to that point is a gradual process. Originally, he's only blessed in the merit of Avraham Avinu until he takes upon himself to teach people the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu, we said, is always given a bracha without reference to the schus of Avram or the schus of Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not invoke his father, his grandfather, in terms of giving him the bracha. So, does that mean that Yaakov Avinu was teaching people from a young age? And the answer, says the Svarno, is yes. Listen to this. Omnom leYaakov lo tala bischus acherim klau. When Yaakov Avinu was giving brachas by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his father, his grandfather never mentioned. It's always just, I'm going to give you a bracha. Apparently he had an independent source of merit. What was that? Kihu omnom minaurav Yoshev Ohalim. Because, says the Svarno, as we know about Yaakov Avinu from the beginning of the parasha, from the time that he was young, he was Yoshev Oholim. He sat in the tents. What tents? Right? Not that he went to an outdoor minyan, but what were the tents that Yaakov Avinu was sitting in? So again, we know Rashi famously quotes, the Olei Shem Ve'Ever, he was sitting, he was learning, right? You know, that's, we're all taught from youth that Yaakov Avinu was a yeshiva man, he was sitting, he was learning from a very, very young age. So that's true, says the Svarno, but there's a part that we leave out when we say it over that way. It wasn't just that Yaakov Avinu was sitting and learning. Yaakov Avinu was sitting and learning and teaching. That's Yoshev Ohalim. Lilmod ulilame das es ha'am. He was learning and he was teaching. Apparently, that was part of the curriculum in the yeshiva Shem Ve'eva. They had you learn, but they sent you out to give shiurim. To learn with people, to instruct people in the Derech Hashem, in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov Avinu, from a young age, says the Svarno, was being Korei B'Shem Hashem, was calling out in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way the Svarno defines that term, that he was not only learning, but he was giving over to others, he was trying to be Madrich, he was trying to instruct people in the right way to conduct themselves. And that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and gives brachos to Yaakov Avinu, he never invokes the schus of Avram or the schus of Yitzchak, because Yaakov from a young age had his own schus. He had the merit of teaching other people. That's what Yoshev Ahala means. Again, it's a twist on something that we all learned as children, but this part of it I don't think we're taught as children, the way the Sfarno understands it. Where's the Sfarno get it from? Right. Right, so it's a good question. In other words, you know, it's very nice to say that he's Yoshev Oholim. Right. Right. So I'll suggest the following. Let me first just read the last couple of lines of the Sfarno. So I think this is part of where it comes from. Then I'll make a suggestion. Right? So he was involved, says the Sfarno, Lilmoldu Lalame Dasisa'am, Bifrat, especially, Ba'ale Shem Va'ever, specifically in the tents of Shem Va'ever, like we talk about Yeshiva Shem Va'ever, Shisham Olu Kol Mivakesh Hashem Beli Safek. Because, of course, without a doubt, anyone who was searching out HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the Beis Medrash of Shem Va'ever. So what's the Sfarno adding by that last line? So I think he's adding the following, and I think it's to address Rav Moshe's question over here. You know, if the depiction of Yaakov Avinu is that he went out on seed programs and he was going to far-flung places all over the world and running Shabbatons, you know, we don't really get that impression from Yaakov Avinu. But you can teach without necessarily going anywhere. He sat in the Beis Medrash Hashem Ve'ever. And the nature of the Beis Medrash Hashem Ve'ever is that people streamed into that Beis Medrash trying to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So instead of, you know, just ignoring them, Yaakov Avinu sat down with them and he learned with them. Doesn't mean that he necessarily went running around all the place. But the very nature of the Beis Medrash of Shem Va'ever is that it was, let's call it a Kiruv operation. In other words, when people came into the Beis Medrash, when they were inspired to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the people in the Beis Medrash of Shem Va'ever helped them on that quest. It's interesting, we find that Chazal talk about Yaakov Avinu learning by the Beis Medrash Hashem Va'ever. We don't find that Chazal talk about Yitzchak Avinu learning by the Beis Medrash Hashem Va'ever. So why not? I mean, in other words, Shem Va'ever, you know, came before Avraham Avinu. So why is it that Yaakov enrolled in that particular yeshiva and Yitzchak didn't? So it sounds like, again, the Sfarno is putting the pieces together and he's saying Yitzchak Avinu had his own private relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was about learning and absorbing. It wasn't really about teaching until a much later point in Yitzchak Avinu's life. Yaakov Avinu may not have gone out there and taught. You know, he wasn't going from place to place like Avraham Avinu. But the very nature of being enrolled in a place like Shem Va'ever's yeshiva meant that by definition, you were being madrich people. You were encountering people who were thirsty for the Dvar Hashem, and you were helping them out. That's also called teaching. You know, in other words, you don't have to run around to do kiruv. You can do kiruv, you know, staying in one place and letting the people come to you. It could be could be also one could suggest that Yoshev Ohalim. Why wasn't he Yoshev Ohel? Why wasn't he just sitting in the tent? He was sitting in multiple tents because maybe Hitaka did travel around, and try to inspire people in different places. In any case, what you see with this Sfarno is this tremendous, tremendous emphasis on the importance of teaching others. It's not enough to learn for yourself. You have to try to teach. You have to try to inspire others. The Sfarno had spoken about this in the context of Noach, that Noach, of course, tried to inspire others to an extent, but didn't go as far as he should have gone. Again, the way we explained the Sfarno when we saw that back in Parshas Noach. And here, the merit to inherit Eretz Yisrael is ultimately tied to this readiness to try to inspire others, not just to be content with being inspired oneself, but spreading that inspiration to other people. Wish everyone a good Chodesh.